order. Hey, can we do roll call, please?
Yes.
Brenda Arnold. Sally Channon.
Here.
Michael Howe.
Here.
Jean Matthews.
Here.
Michael Owens.
Here.
Gary Dudmeyer.
Here.
Neil Wants.
Here.
Olga Prieto. Bob Sabin.
Here.
Mark Stivers is excused. Heather Trebeau.
Here.
And Mike Rigetti.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. Have everyone reviewed the agenda? Can we get a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
The second one is Bob Michael Owens. Okay, and let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Do they have all opposed?
Any opposed? Sorry. I read it quickly. Okay, and a motion. Okay, so the next item is a motion to approve the minutes for May. Does anyone have any additions or deletions? I actually have one amendment to it. It's for further clarification. Item 1D, comments from the chair. Last sentence. Chelsea State of the City is working towards, working on developing mobility fees, is working on, just further clarification, the possibility of developing mobility fees. Does anyone else have any amendments? So we can get a motion to approve with amendments.
So moved.
Second.
Michael, second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Okay. Item D, comments from the chair. We got quite a few today, actually. First of all, I would like to introduce our West Palm Beach intern, Cameron Ennis. He's from Florida State, and he's studying planning, and he has an interest in transportation planning. So he's working with us over the summer. He's been actually a great addition already. He's very creative as well. So, thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Then I would like to compliment FDOT on the Complete Streets Guidebook. It is amazing. I read through it, and it's really a visionary document, and I hope it wins some awards because it deserves it. It's really exciting. The context classification system is really exciting. I would like to let everyone know that we did a walk in our Northwest neighborhood, and the MPO came. It was a partnership with the health department as well. And what we did is we walked around the entire neighborhood in the Northwest, and we actually did giveaways, and we talked about safety and did helmet fittings, and we actually reached out to the community and talked to them about what their concerns were for safety and walking and biking in there. And it was actually a learning experience because we had an event, but then we walked around and nobody attended the event. But when we walked around, people were like, thank you for coming out, thank you for doing this. And when we did that and did the giveaways and talked to the kids, it was really fulfilling. It was really nice, and I really feel like we reached out to a lot of people. With that, we created a one-pager of our findings from all the people that we talked to. And there was a lot of facility issues with safety and a lot of preference. We learned that everyone in the neighborhood prefers Rosemary to go north-south and prefers 8th Street to go east-west. And those walking and biking feedback pieces are going to be important as we move forward in the future in that neighborhood. So that's one of them. And then the other thing that we've been working on is our mayor did a bike to school proclamation. And then we had 4 schools participate in Bike to School Day, and we reached out to each of the schools and had a table. And this is Northmore Elementary School, where we had a police department there, we had Safe Kids there, even a commissioner showed up. And we were really getting the kids involved in biking to school. We really want to promote it in the city, and we really want a healthy, safe environment for everyone. And with that, also we attended the Safe Routes to School workshop. And I would like to talk to Michael in the future for partnering with him to maybe doing something in the future to develop a really progressive Safe Routes to School application. Okay. That's the end of the comments from the chair.
Sure. Thank you. Those are great comments. So my bicycle pedestrian coordination report is printed before you, and I'll just kind of skim through. So the first news is great news. The pedestrian and bicycle safety study has won an award through the Florida Planning and Zoning Association. Staff will actually be in attendance tomorrow at the award ceremony in Naples, Florida. So I want to congratulate us all as a group. Thank you all for your efforts and sitting on the committee to kind of revise and review the plan going forward. And hopefully this helps it kind of grow legs so that it's not just a plan that sits on the shelf. So good news followed by not so good news. Have a staff update. We bid a fond farewell to Annie Delgado. She's been a great addition to the NPL, and we wish her a terrific journey in her new position in the city of Boca. Some other announcements just to make you guys aware of. There's an Okeechobee Boulevard corridor public meeting. This is a series of public meetings to be held this month. The dates are, you know, listed below on the report, June 12th, 13th, and the 14th, and the 15th is kind of a wrap-up work in progress mixer. So we encourage you all to kind of go out, any of you that are stakeholders to Okeechobee Boulevard. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, use the corridor. So feel free to kind of give your feedback on mobility in the city of West Palm Beach. Additionally, I want to kind of let everyone know that our U.S. multimodal corridor study public meetings are traveling further north. We began in Boca a few weeks ago, and now we'll be in the Delray-Boynton area. We'll have a workshop in the Boynton Beach Library on the 24th, and that is going to be followed by Open Studio Charrettes, an opportunity for you to just kind of pop in and give your feedback in the Boynton Beach Clubhouse, and that's the 26th to the 28th. Again, the dates are listed on your liaison report. Lastly, I do want to also introduce to our BT PAC Andrea Papa Andrew. Forgive me if I pronounce your name incorrectly. She is currently a planning student and an intern with Ken Lee Horn. She came to kind of drop by and see what we do here at the NPO and BT PAC. I thought this would be a great opportunity for her to kind of meet some nice, friendly faces and interact and network as well. So keep her in mind if you have any upcoming positions. Shameless plug for all right, and that concludes my comments.
Thank you, Francesca.
Sure.
And now we have item F, general public comments and public comments on the agenda items. We do have one card. Dan?
He left?
Okay, yeah, I think we discussed it. He wanted to talk about the Cumberland Roundabout, but I discussed it with him at the beginning of the meeting to go over his concerns. Any other public comments? No? Okay, great. So let's get to action items, right? Yeah. Okay, a motion to recommend adoption for the TIF. And this is presented by Andrew. Okay, great. Andrew, thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So it's a quick presentation opposed to the last meeting, which was a little bit longer. So this is the second reading for the TIP, fiscal year 18 to 22. And just to show you the schedule, Arrow, we are here in June 2017, final adoption of TIP, and last month was that draft TIP. And then you can see the whole schedule here. We'll be operating under fiscal year 18 to 22 starting July 1st. And then we have on the schedule just the future TIP, you don't have to worry about it yet, but fiscal year 19 through 23. And the reason we show that is you can kind of see all the steps that happen throughout this process to get to where we are today. So next month, you'll see the priority list for the July 2017, and then the DOT work program comes out in October. So that's all building up to the next fiscal year of 19. So all those steps happened already for fiscal year 18, what we're talking about today. And then if you haven't seen full document yet, there should have been links in your packet, I believe, and some of the different summary, but you can see on our website, it's just palmbeachmpo.org, and you can do the /TIP, and it'll send you here, and you'll be able to see the executive summary, and then the full document there. It's about 160 pages or so it's pretty Good read there. And just again, just a background on the TIP, what kind of products go in there. This is all the categories that you'll see, the sections broken down in the document. And you see the MPO priority products there with the major MPO projects, local initiative program, transportation alternatives program, which you're all familiar with, and then the newer Sun Trail program. And then you see the FDOT priority products from the system capacity to the intermodal system. And then other projects that wouldn't fall under these categories in those lists, but other FDOT projects, and then local projects. So we reach out to all the jurisdictions, try to get their locally funded projects with either impact fees or property taxes, and incorporate those products that don't always have federal and state funds attached. And then other airports, railroads, and seaport projects that don't already fall in assist capacity or the other MPO priorities. And then a good chunk of money is dedicated to maintenance and operations, so major maintenance projects, and then operation and maintenance of roadways, and then, of course, transit. And a few updates that we've had since last meeting, some recommendations we received all from the committees, and those were things that we could incorporate were a map series by construction year, so that wasn't provided in your packet. I don't think the first draft of the fiscal year 18 was in there, but we have them all the way out by fiscal year for all the TIP years, so 18 to 22, and they look something like this. So they are 11 by 17, so hopefully you can print it out on office computers or other ways, but it's also available on the website and the TIP document and the executive summary. Attica County fiscal year 18 new recipient projects from their infrastructure surtax project list. We want to incorporate the other ones as well, but we got that pretty late, so those are the only ones we have in there now, but some future renditions of the TIP for informational purposes will probably add the other fiscal year projects in there. And then provide commonly referenced locations for project descriptions when possible. What that means is, you know, sometimes we have some product descriptions that only have like a state road name, or they might reference a termini for a canal. And so those are kind of not really tangible places that you can really grasp. So hopefully the map helps with that a little bit. And we're still working on our interactive map to get that going and updated. But then where we can, we try to change out those state road names to more local road names, or have them both in at the same time. And the same for those canals, so have a nearest intersection or roadway. And then other little products, just to mention, these have been before the committee before, and these are just ones that we wanted to mention that are still in TIP, I-95 at 45th and I-95 at Southern Boulevard. And you can see the phases here of PE in 21 and right-of-way in 22, so these are the outer years of the TIP. I just wanted to bring up to you that even though these are still sort of going through the process of the committees for changes, they're still in TIP, but the board would give them a future opportunity to vote on these recommended improvements. So before design is finalized, they'll be coming back to the committees for the board. And this is my last slide here. So one of the other recommendations, and we're still trying to figure out how we best want to capture this, but was to try to figure out our progress of the LRTP project. So what are our priorities in there, and how well are we doing to meet those? Are they actually going from planning to implementation? So this is the breakdown initially of how that's looking. So the breakdown of our cost feasible plan and long-range transportation plan out to 2040 is categorized by the strategic intermodal system, turnpike projects, our MPO-funded projects, and then locally funded Palm Beach County projects that add capacity. So you can see all the amount of feasible projects in the long-range transportation plan, and then the amount we have completed, and then the amount programmed in the fiscal year 18 through 22 TIP, and the ones yet to be funded, and then ones that have been either removed or are being completed through some other means, possibly all local funding. You see a large amount of not yet funded for MPO. So these are all projects that go all the way out to 2040. So there is a pretty long list of projects there. And I believe this may be my last slide. Yes?
Great. Thank you, Andrew. Is there any questions?
Yes, this rail extension that's out in the lakes, can you explain a little bit about that project? Is that related to proposed inland port?
I don't know specifics on that. I could probably look it up real quickly. Do we have the document? That'd be easier for me. Just take a second.
What number is it on the right?
It's 439-2291.
You know, so I can show that.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in the table. I just.
Oh, it's not on the table? Sorry.
No.
What was that first?
I didn't find it, but then.
So you won't see the executive summary because this is under one of those other.
Oh, new rail extension, I see.
Mm-hmm. So just to show you real fast to highlight the map, if you scroll down a little bit, if you can. So if you're like looking for a project through the document, and if you control F, you know, search for a project, keep going to the Glades Inset. So,
yes.
Oh, it's not working well. Try the yes. Other way. There you go. Okay, there it is. You can go a little farther. Okay, so that's where it is, this the project I was talking about. And then if you keep going again one more time for the search. Go next. And this is, oh, so it only has the Southeast Rail Extension there. I'm not sure about the specifics on the project for that. I have to look into that.
I have a question about your county resurfacing project.
Mm-hmm.
Are some, I don't know if some of those roads already have bike lanes or not, but if they don't, are you looking to maybe add bike lanes to some of the county roads if they're needed or if they connect to existing state roads?
Mm-hmm. So, the process for that, so the main reason we have those products in here, right, is for those types of reasons. So how can we advance some of other types of goals through those local products? I'm not sure about the in-depth process of getting to that point. So we have a director in the room. My name is popping in. I always ask him questions. But the question was, he's asking about resurfacing products with county and how do we go about possibly adding bike lanes or other types of facilities while those are getting put into place.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that.
Oh,
which kind of projects?
County resurfacing projects that we show our MTIP. How do we go about possibly getting into the planning phase of that and incorporating?
Yeah, you guys adding bike lanes,
bike
resurfacing, or you know, if you're coming through the project, you could possibly like widen like 2 feet. If it doesn't have a bike lane now, then you add it. I don't know if you guys are doing that.
We're doing an exercise now to kind of review what the right of way widths are, the speed limits, and kind of take an internal look at what other configurations could exist. So that's the first step, and then you know taking that to the county and seeing what their response would be.
Yeah. It's a good time to do it now because we see two projects done like every 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could implement them now rather than come like a couple years later.
If you're focused on just the ones that are, there is enough pavement there to put a bike lane in.
Right.
It's a major move. And this has always been a mystery to me.
But some, I've seen some county roads are really wide and have shoulders. If you could just reduce the lanes. I mean, some areas maybe like 10 feet, they're slow speeds with your neighborhoods, then you can fit a bike lane or some. You might have to do some widening. I don't know all the county roads, but. Especially connected to the state roads with bikes and facilities.
Sure. Madam Chair, if I could interject.
Yeah.
I love where the discussion's going. I think this is fantastic. I want to make sure you are all aware that Neil is sitting in the table with you, and she is a county engineering representative. So input to her is input to county engineering in some sense with respect to the scope of work to be accomplished. I also want to mention this is a relatively unprecedented level of foreknowledge for county maintenance projects. Because of the infrastructure surtax, we actually have a list to look at, and we know what's coming in the next 5, even 10 years with those infrastructure surtax dollars. We have repeatedly, since I've been at the MPO, asked for the maintenance list for the county, and they have generally responded by saying that those maintenance requests are made as a general fund request on an annual basis. They never know what's going to be funded, so they can't tell you where they're going to be doing work in advance. Now we have a list. So it's a wonderful season of opportunity to work on modifications to the transportation system while we're doing the maintenance. That being said, the funds are only estimated to accomplish milling and resurfacing of these roads. So you have to be cognizant, you have to be aware of the constraints with respect to where the curbs are. They're not suggesting that they dig up the outside edges of the road and put in new drainage pipes and new inlets in order to provide a wider surface. They're just milling and resurfacing asphalt and then putting new stripes on the asphalt. Some suggestions for the committee. One suggestion would be that you just make a general motion today that the county look to incorporate bicycle facilities in their resurfacing projects at every opportunity. Every time they're doing a project, do what you can to improve bicycle infrastructure. That's one course of action you could take. Another course of action you could consider taking is, as a committee, ask the county to engage its local partners in the discussion of what these maintenance projects should accomplish before they happen. Somewhat following the DOT's example, that a resurfacing project, even if it's just milling asphalt and putting new asphalt down to make a smoother road, is a 3-year process for a DOT project. It's a 3-month process for the county today, because they essentially just use an annual contractor and tell the contractor, start here, go there, mill what's out there, and put it back. That's all the planning work that goes into these typical resurfacing projects. So you could ask them to do more planning work, and then as a committee, we would be able to deliver that message on your behalf and say, county, it would be great if you incorporated a little more forethought into your scoping for these projects. Either one of those two actions, or a combination of the two, incorporate bike lanes wherever possible, engage the stakeholders around the projects that you're going to be doing maintenance on, are good suggestions, and it would be helpful to us, I would share, as staff, if our committees of stakeholders were also asking for these things, and I wasn't the only one going to the county engineer saying, wouldn't it be great if we had more people asking for this kind of forethought, I think we would potentially have a more chance of success in changing the procedure the county uses for these maintenance projects. So just some thoughts for you guys. You can put that on for discussion. You can do it at a future agenda, but if you want to take an action even now, this is a good opportunity to suggest that one of those courses is appropriate. If I could, I wanted to jump back because I know you had a question about the rail project, just to give you a brief level of what we know. The short answer is we don't know much. It is a privately initiated request for Strategic Intermodal System funds. SIWR is the Strategic Intermodal System Wheels on the Road fee. So that's what SIWR stands for. It's $23 million of state funds in addition to the $1 million of growth management revenue that's at the top line for that rail extension. This is a new extension of a railroad on U.S. Sugar property in the western part of Palm Beach County. It will improve capacity for getting agricultural product in and out of that agricultural region. But I'll be honest with you, it's being managed through central office at DOT, so someone in Tallahassee knows more about this. We have been trying diligently, because it's been in our tip for several years, to obtain more detailed information. The District 4 folks basically say, we don't know what's going on with it, ask someone in Tallahassee. We were able able to find a project location just this year, even though it's been in the TIP for several years, and we were able to add it to the map and show where the rail construction would occur. So that was a big step forward.
That is.
Which attracted attention, and now all of a sudden people said, wow, there's a $40 million investment in rail infrastructure in western Palm Beach County. Let's know more about that. So I think that that sort of explains the benefit of mapping the projects. Because it helps us understand where the dollars are going to be spent. But it does raise questions that we want to be helpful in answering for you, and we're doing our best. So, you know, Alex, if you could help us out, we would love your internal investigation and our external investigation. Maybe we'll all get a better sense of where what this project will be.
Some of our resurfacing projects, we have like some of the lanes are really wide and have some shoulders. So if we just repave and then restripe it, we got bike lanes. I mean, it was just through resurfacing project. Yeah. So I mean, it depends on where it's at too. You gotta talk to the community, see if there's heavily bike fed traffic there, if it's leading up to another bike lane or maybe like a local park in the area, then it'd be a good investment to look into. It could create maybe a future project. They could hold off on possibly milling resurfacing if there's highly trafficked by bicycles and it leads to a park and there's no bike lane there now. Maybe hold off on resurfacing, creating a little widening project to add bike lanes to it as well. So it doesn't look like you're coming back resurfacing and then like 2 years later ripping up the road again. Mm-hmm.
So there's two pieces here. There's the resurfacing and then there's also the Glades extension. Do we want to discuss the resurfacing first and then go back to the Glades? Okay.
Well, I just wanted to know who initiated. It's a privately initiated.
Okay.
Who's the private initiator?
Well, I imagine it was U.S. Sugar, but I honestly, now I'm moving from fact to speculation. I don't know that much about it.
Okay, so we'll stay. We can go with that one first. So with that, there was, I guess, FDOT, now that you're the representative, is there somebody that you can reach out to maybe get somebody to come in here and tell us more about the project?
Yeah, we're closely with the rail office. I'm going to go back today and I'm going to talk to them and see what information they have about it.
Okay, and report back to them next. Mm-hmm. Next at the next meeting, is that okay? Can we
yeah,
add that to the agenda?
Sure.
Okay, great.
I'd reply to some emails too.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's
just that this is the first I've seen a location, and I always thought from the name when it says South Central that it had to do with the, you know, the express project, you know, in the corridor, like essentially in the Tri-Rail corridor. So I wouldn't want to support a TIP with this project going forward without knowing more about it and then checking with my office, because I know that ERM has taken positions in the past for when it comes to projects, particularly in a location which looks like this, just getting really close to, I can't tell exactly where it is, but it looks like it's getting very close to the Queen Corbett.
Okay.
And I know with the inland port in the past, our office's comment on it. I just
Okay.
that would not support.
Okay.
That particular project.
Wouldn't support the TIP because without learning more about that project, because there are some sensitive areas that it crosses. Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
And thank you for getting this on a map.
Yes.
Totally different idea of where this project was.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments regarding the FEC extension? And then the milling and resurfacing with the county. Neil, I guess that's kind of, is that something that you can kind of talk to everyone and report back to us about?
Mm-hmm.
And was there anyone who wanted to make a motion on that regarding getting the county to engage local stakeholders and to incorporate bike lanes when feasible when restriping?
I'll make a motion. I move that the projects listed on the TIP that are resurfacing, that are county engineering projects, that all possible attempts be made to add pedestrian and bicycle facilities, including narrowing lanes, and that these projects come before us on a monthly basis, giving us 6 months to a year for planning purposes, and that we get to review them. I've been on this committee a long time, and we've never had the opportunity to review. Black hole.
So that's a big planning thing to come out and come to us to review it instead of working with the local stakeholders.
Yeah, I've gone and seen the lane, doing roads and resurfacing them, and running back and saying, well, where are they going to put the lines? and it's usually all the way through then, it's very kind of like the last thing. In the default mode is to do what was there before. And so you need to get out of that default mode and say, well, here's, you know, couldn't you just widen this from 3 feet to 4 feet? That kind of thing.
Neil, any comments on the possibility of this motion? Oh, do we have a second for it?
I thought we discussed all this years and years ago. We talked about opening the bike lanes, and there may be something in place now, so I need to find out. Because now we have the 1 cent sales tax resurfacing projects, and are they treated the same as the fiscal year resurfacing projects? So I'll have to find out.
Do we have a second on the motion?
A second.
Second by Bob. And more discussion. I'm sorry, I did not know. Yes, ma'am.
I just, for the committee's benefit, I want to clarify what I heard. I heard a recommendation to incorporate pedestrian bicycle facilities, make every effort, including narrowing lanes. But then I also heard, this is a very significant request, that these projects be presented to this committee for review prior to them going under construction. I want to give you some candid feedback that's a difficult request to implement, because committee design is messy, and getting consensus on what ought to occur on a project-by-project basis will take up more of your time, energy, and effort than is currently budgeted for this committee to meet once a month. So as you think about what you're asking for, I want you to know that that's a radical shift. It will probably not be honored, candidly. But if you are really interested in that, you are committing your time, energy, and effort to be here for much longer than you typically are. So I want to make sure you know that when you're asking for that, as opposed to just saying, hey, make sure the county engages the local community that these corridors traverse, which is a different, you know, happens outside of these meetings and gives those local stakeholders opportunity to comment. I just want you to be aware what you're asking.
Yeah. Okay, let me modify my
Do we need to take a vote and kill it, or can we amend it now, or can we amend it?
Yes.
Can we amend it? Okay.
I'll go ahead and make the change and all of a sudden.
Okay. I move that we make a motion to have the county engineering incorporate bike pedestrian facilities in all resurfacing projects whenever possible, and to engage local stakeholders prior to commencement of construction while the project's still in the planning phase.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. So the amended motion?
There's a discussion.
And now discussion.
Yeah, discussion. It seems like if you just could find out the list, I guess it is available. If I could just see where, if I knew where they were going to do something, we got lots of people around who say, hey, you know, we're going to resurface this road. Is it possible that we could put a bike lane in there? And put only our efforts behind those things that are easy to do as opposed to, I didn't get this printed out.
So it's the purple lines?
The purple lines.
On the map for each fiscal year.
Okay.
We've actually added the county, just the infrastructure surtax projects, because that's the project list that we know. So if you're looking in the south, you're looking at Powerline Road.
Yeah.
Is a resurfacing job. Mm-hmm. Is that where I am? Yeah, I think that's Powerline.
You can go to the project after you get that list.
Yeah, you're right. So you've got the numbers here. You've got Gulf Road. You have North of Lake Ida. You've got
Gulf Road is very important.
Really. Busy.
So are these, what's the timeline for these? Where they're at in each of the processes?
Now, you're looking at an early draft of the map.
Okay.
We've since revised it to show, I think Andrew just held up examples without being in your packet, but we've revised it to show projects by fiscal year.
Oh,
so we actually have a map for 18, we have a map for 19, we have a map for 20, to show which projects will be implemented. And you can look in advance on the 18 list and say, okay, these are the projects that will be happening shortly.
Yeah.
And allows you to focus your attention on the stuff coming as soon as.
And by and large, these are just resurfacing. They are triple R's.
These are, so you need to dig into the details,
yes.
Because who owns the road will have something to say about what process they follow.
And who owns the road is on, you know, under that tab?
Under the project number that's identified on that tab. You can go into the detail and understand, oh, this is a state road, and it will be done in one way. Or this is a county resurfacing project with infrastructure surtax money, and it will be done sort of under their county's standard procedure.
Yeah, and Neil's pointing out that there may be some difference in how that's handled.
Sure.
At this point.
Sure.
Well, and you know, one of the things I question is like Gulf Road. That's a great project. That is a great east-west bicycle.
Oh, it's a major. Well, and the big problem with it is full of all these tree roots, and what they're going to do with the roads and stuff. But
I think we can all start looking at this in further detail looking at those priority projects.
But here's one of my questions. Okay, so say, I don't know what the travel lanes are, but say they're 12, and we know that this is really a priority. Is it possible to take that surtax money, add in additional money, and expand the scope of the project as proposed?
So if a local entity wanted to add money to the resurfacing project to make it a better project, would the county work with municipalities to do that, or other departments?
Or even at some NPO funding or some other source of funding, because we know like that's a critical road. So if you could throw in money, you know, 20%, could you then just add more asphalt while you're doing the original construction? It would save the mobilization and everything else.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I could opine on that. I love the question, and I want to also make a transitional comment, not just for county infrastructure surtax projects, but if the city of West Palm, city of Boca, city of Boynton, or any of our other municipalities are using their infrastructure surtax revenues to accomplish transportation maintenance projects, those are windows of opportunity to add funds and increase the scope of work. However, so I like what you're trying to do, and I would encourage all, and I've said this about the county, and I would say it to the cities as well, look at your future project list so that you can align your intended infrastructure projects with the MPO's available funding, which means for transportation alternatives, you're 3 years out. For local initiatives, you're 4 or 5 years out. So when you're looking at fiscal year 18, it's a more difficult question to answer affirmatively, to say yes to say, oh, look, the county's going to do resurfacing on Gulf Road. Let's find someone who's sitting on $1 million in fiscal year 18 that has nothing to do with it and ask them to put it on Gulf Road to expand the width of the pavement so that that can be a multimodal corridor. It's a great idea, but we don't have too many people sitting on enough money in early years to make those aggressive increases in scope to the resurfacing projects. So we need to think proactively, but we need to think proactively in that 3 to 5 year time frame for the infrastructure projects.
Absolutely.
When money's available
to
do those partnerships.
Doing this and with the low money impacts, then we get better at the bigger monies, and that'll take a little longer.
So frankly, your short term, your better answer is, could we persuade the county to put the stripes in better places, and the cities to put the stripes in better places with their existing pavement width? Because they have a defined project list with cost estimates. They're not excited about us knocking on their door saying, wouldn't it be great if you spent 20% more of your surtax revenue on this project, which means you have to do less somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's a finite resource, and they've allocated dollars to projects, and they're trying to make it all happen. So they're not looking for opportunities to spend more of their money. And frankly, the MPO doesn't have money in that time frame to throw at good ideas. So we need to be cognizant of the limitations, but we need to be aggressive in trying to create partnerships.
How about like this? When you look at this 2018 and you say there's maybe one or two critical projects, could they be shifted 3 years back? Because I'm thinking like on this one, is if we could apply for complete streets in that area. I don't know how many walkers there are, but if you could do pedestrian scale lighting and sidewalks and bike lanes, I mean, I don't know. Shift it back. I've been told the sales tax is pretty.
Put together their project list, and it's a complex balancing act because they have revenues in each year, they have project costs that need to add up to the available revenues in each year, They have competing political priorities. They were trying to allocate projects to various commission districts. They were trying to balance between facility infrastructure and roadways and parks and all these different components. So, sure, you can ask them to make swaps. And if it's a dollar-for-dollar swap, and you have a project in a third year that is not important to you, and a project in the first year that you would like to add money to, maybe you can persuade them, and they happen to be the same dollar amount, maybe you can persuade them to trade. But you need to recognize the complexity of their challenges and not get too frustrated with them if we can't move heaven and earth for individual corridors. But we are trying to shift the direction of the ship so that we, in 10 years, could potentially radically transform our transportation system in Palm Beach County.
Well, and even on Gulf Road, even if you could shift the lane lines in a foot and a half, that would help a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, I've said more than I probably should have.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For
coming. We have a motion on the table and a second and a discussion for the motion.
Discussion? Is that what we're on?
Yes.
Just the your earlier motion kind of specified this business about reduction of lanes, and I thought that was a key thing to say. I'm pretty sure that there's something in the comp plan already in the transportation element about always doing bike lanes, you know, where feasible or some language like that. But the specific thing that would occur with these resurfacing that would be pretty easy would be to change the way the stripes are in place. So I'm very definitely in favor of making that kind of comment from the committee to Palm Beach County to say, make sure you look at the, you know, not just getting the stripes back in the same place on the projects.
Well,
could you left that out of your second replacement motion?
Well, and even if moving the striping doesn't result in a recognized bike lane, even if you get another foot, it's going to help.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion?
And you want a modification of the motion to the...
That would be
nice. Yeah.
Okay. Can we amend a motion twice? Or a friendly amendment?
Okay,
so make a friendly amendment to modify the motion.
All right, Sally, help me with this.
Just what you said before, that in the part of the motion where you said recommend to the county that they look at these and include bike lanes.
And pedestrian facilities, including travel lane with reductions.
Yeah.
Okay, so amend the where they're looking into it. So amending the first part of it to say when they're to actually reduce lanes to add bike and pedestrian facilities, correct?
Yeah. We're specifically asking them to look at that methodology of accomplishing these.
Right. Madam Chair, just a clarification. The maker of the motion is suggesting travel lane width reductions.
Okay.
But other members of the committee have been using the word lane eliminations for lane reductions.
Okay.
Those are not the same things.
There's two.
If you go from four travel lanes to two travel lanes, that's a lane elimination for cars. If you go from 11-foot lanes to 10-foot lanes, that's a lane width reduction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for the committee to understand what they're suggesting and make sure that they're clear in the motion, because I've heard both.
Okay, so are which one, are we talking about both, or are we talking about?
No,
lane width reduction.
Reduction, everyone is kind of on that? Okay,
yes,
so
correct.
Do we want to clarify it and restate it one more time with?
Please. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I make a motion that County Engineering review all their transportation projects in milling and resurfacing to accommodate bike ped facilities wherever possible, including lane width reductions and providing wider shoulders wherever possible.
And
coordinate with local stakeholders prior to commencement of construction. Did that get it, Grace?
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
Got it. Yes.
So
I second that.
Okay, so do we have a second on that? Okay.
Yep.
And, okay, just want to take a vote now? Yeah? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, no one? Great, thank you. Thank you, that was good. So now we'll go back to the TIP. And any more discussion on the TIP and any of the projects? Do we have a motion for the TIP? Adoption of the TIP? Sally?
Motion? I move adoption with the exception of project 439-2291.
New rail extension.
Pending more information, or was it that's what we want, right?
Yeah, next month.
Yeah, Penny, I mean, we can come back next month, but this is a month we're voting. We're at the point where we're supposed to be voting on the TIP. And I personally am very uncomfortable supporting something that's in that location. I don't know more about it.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? No? Okay. Okay, let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Me? Heather? Sorry, we do not support number one and two. It's, as we've said before, it's State Road 7. It's the city's opposed to it, and otherwise we would vote for it. But we're opposed.
Okay. So just subtract one from each of those.
Subtract one. Okay. Our next agenda item is an information item for the 2045 Long Range Transportation Plan Scope of Services.
Kevin Fisher is presenting this.
Good morning. It's not raining. So that's all we have to do. Like it was mentioned, this is a information item. So our timeline for the next LRTP, which I know we've mentioned before, would be kicking off pretty soon. It'll be adopted no later than October of 2019, but it's a long process to go through an LRTP update. So we've been putting together the scope of services for the 2045 plan, which was included in your backup. So I just wanted to briefly highlight some of the what's new for 2045 and some of the major shifts and components of the plan. One thing we definitely wanted to highlight in 2045 plan are emerging technologies. I know there's lots of discussion on autonomous vehicles and when you have your Uber and your Lyfts and what impacts that's having on the transportation system. But it's a tricky balancing act because you listen to some experts and they say in 5 years there'll be a huge chunk of the automobile fleets out there that are autonomous. Others are a little more skeptical of that time frame. But we wanted to start planning how our facilities could transition if a lot of the expectations occurred. There may be excess asphalt in a lot of locations. So we want to use this process to start developing some typologies of how we could transition corridors that may have excess laneage in the future. So we're looking at developing maybe three types of typologies, whether it be downtown areas or suburban arterial corridors, and laying out what it may look like. Another thing, in terms of time frames, while 2045 is the horizon year, this time we want to place more emphasis on the interim year. So our currently adopted LRTP does have a 2025 interim year, and then 2040 is the horizon year. For this plan, 2030 would be the interim year, and we actually want that to be the emphasis of the plan as opposed to the horizon year. Because 10-year time period is much more manageable in terms of what our realistic funding revenues will be. With that said, per state and federal statute, we still have to look out to a horizon year, but you'll see more of an emphasis on that first 10 years of the long-range plan. Multimodal master plan, what we mean by this is typically plans, you know, we have the SERPM model, which is a regional travel demand model, mostly car focused. It does do some transit analysis too. But this time we want to have additional layers of adding walk bike scores and really doing an assessment of the pedestrian and the bicycling networks, as well as a more in-depth transit potential analysis so that each mode is on an equal footing and it's not just a traditional travel demand model where typically the cars, is the emphasis of what's being modeled. Then the last two, and this was brought up in part a couple weeks ago. There was a meeting on the road impact fees, and I know a few months back we had a discussion here about potential alternatives to the current road impact fee system. And one of the comments brought up was, with impact fees, a lot of the improvements are on intersections. Those types of projects are incorporated into a long-range transportation plan. They're larger capacity projects. So we're thinking this is a good opportunity to better tie in our CMP, which is annually adopted, the Congestion Management Process Plan, with the long-range transportation plan to get a more holistic look at all types of projects occurring. And then also, keeping with the road impact fee discussion, that depending on where that goes, this would be a good opportunity to reevaluate the zone boundaries and where those collections are occurring. This I'll go through briefly. This was just kind of laying out the different sections that in your backup had what the main components of the plan will be. I did want to highlight a few. Like I mentioned, calling it modal travel demand forecasting so that we have all those modes on equal footing. Scenario planning, that'll be a combination of looking at basically a three-pronged approach. One, if there were some land use changes, if certain patterns started shifting and our downtown cores, the trend has been for more downtown development. If that ramped up, what would that change for the needs of our transportation system? Also looking at the technology aspect, how could the technology affect our existing system and what they may look like in the future? And then thirdly, also funding, both in terms of innovative additional funding sources we may not have now or even been looking at, but also if there were policy changes that shifted how pots of money can be used. One of the big challenges now is operations and maintenance. It's very limited to be able to use funding for that. So what kind of policy shifts could happen that may provide more flexibility to achieve our goals? The rest, and the last one I wanted to highlight was the strategic funding plan, which kind of ties in a little bit to the funding aspect of scenario planning, but we'll have it at the end of the day, large list of projects. Only some of those make it to the cost feasible plan, and then we have the unfunded needs projects. So the strategic funding plan will focus on how do we accomplish getting those projects into the cost feasible plan, whether it's additional funding opportunities or, again, policy shifts that could free up how funds are able to be allocated. And then lastly, currently operating under the adopted 2040 long-range transportation plan, until October 2019, because there's a requirement that every 5 years a new plan has to be adopted. So we'd like to have ours adopted prior to October of 2019 to have cushion and more discussion. And I do want to point out, obviously, all the committees will be heavily involved during the process of the update. So with that, are there any questions or comments?
Many electric cars does anybody know when electric cars are going to start taking off and how many they'll be on the road and the need for charging stations moving forward over the years?
So I believe there are sources that estimate the number of electric vehicles on the roads by county. And I know, for instance, prior to join the Palm Beach MPO when I was with Broward County, we were part of the U.S. Department of Energy's Workplace Charging Challenge. So we had done a holistic analysis of every charging location in Broward County, and then started mapping out those gaps. And then we also did surveys of if people had an electric vehicle, do they have interest, and if they have interest, what is the barrier? And that was typically the main responses. I'm afraid that, you know, if I'm running low, there aren't enough charging locations. So I think that's another type of analysis that would make sense to be rolled into this process, into the LRT.
Yeah, because VW settlement for their admissions is a tremendous amount of dollars.
Yes.
And one of the things is it's all transportation driven. So there's going to be money for electric charging stations. So if you kind of knew
those areas, yeah,
like our nature centers would be perfect.
Yeah, it's a great comment.
Again, you talked about excess asphalt for emerging technologies. Can you explain that?
So that is, and I'll say I've been looking at a lot of best practices in other areas, and Pittsburgh is actually a good one because they've been kind of a testing ground for these autonomous vehicles. And it's kind of a twofold approach. So one is the need for parking areas would potentially significantly decrease as you get dropped off and cars kind of go on their way and pick other people up. So one would be the excess parking, and we already have excess parking today in most areas, honestly, even without autonomous vehicles. But add that in, then we really have excess. But then two would be it would operate more efficiently because the barrier to efficiency tends to be human behavior, whether it's at a red light and people are on their phone or driving it on their phone. And so the thought is that even if the number of vehicles on the roads didn't significantly decrease, there'd be a lot more capacity because efficiencies would greatly rise. So what we wanted to do is do a kind of typologies of how could we retrofit those corridors if we do find that all of a sudden there's all these extra lanes that we don't need.
Might be a great opportunity to transform parking spaces into green areas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, why don't we? A lot of cars are getting narrower. Why don't we make the lanes narrower?
Right.
That for someplace else. Mm-hmm. These being only for narrow lanes.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I think is interesting, and this is something Parks and Rec struggles with all the time. We tend to have capital dollars in the form of impact fees and now the sales tax for new construction, but maintenance or retrofitting is very hard to come by.
Exactly.
And I'm very curious of how you guys are going to address that with a policy shift.
Yeah, that will be an interesting part of it. I won't promise that will be easy, but that is the goal, to really evaluate what changes could occur so that we have that flexibility.
Yes. Have you picked a consultant yet?
No, so it has not, and that is something I did mean to mention as well. So this will be, I think, September is when we were targeting to have a consultant selected for it. But a little different this time around is, and you'll notice the scope provided in the backup was pretty short compared to a typical scope, because we are planning to take a task work order-based approach, because a lot of this effort can be done with staff here. It doesn't, oftentimes the whole thing goes out and a consultant does the whole plan. This, we want to, one, it allows for more adaptability as things are going through the process. You can issue task work orders for certain components as you get farther along, then other components can be done in-house. But it's a long answer to your question, but September is the target.
I would like if you put an emphasis on technology in the future, because you're mm-hmm. talking about planning for the short term, putting more emphasis on that, but really you have to feed it from that long term, that 2045, because we need to start making those changes now and for the 2045 to get there, because we're kind of at this tipping point now.
Yeah.
We need to get past it and stop holding back and going backwards. So
yeah.
If we could just prioritize emerging technology and innovation a little bit higher on the weighted scale, then maybe we can make a change for the future and make Palm Beach County a leader.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I feel like this tipping point is the hardest time period to be
and,
in.
And that's where you have to push harder.
Yeah.
That's where you have to push
right.
harder, and you can't give up. That's where we got to do it.
Yeah.
So I really, when you talk about your data assembly, I really want that consultant that you choose to really be forward thinkers, to
mm-hmm.
really be ahead of themselves so that we can be the front edge of this.
Be
not the people lagging behind. I don't want to be that person anymore. And then also your three scenarios and your scenario campaign, have you discussed any of what that could be?
We haven't gotten far into the details yet, kind of sketched out what the thoughts are, but we haven't picked, and that would be something that will be heavily involved with committee input as we go through the process, but we haven't picked exactly what those three scenarios would look like.
And again, that kind of goes into that, like let's make sure that those scenarios are, what happens if autonomous vehicles actually take hold, because
right.
they are happening, and it is real.
Yeah.
And that's it for my questions. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
The last one was the fees and the strategic planning and that in Ohio. It's a policy change. Again, keep open-minded on that one so that we can really talk about where the money goes. And that's a big thing for our committee is
mm-hmm.
to be able to get funding for bikes and pedestrians and kind of make some of that money shift that way. We looked at the TIP, and you saw all that funding was in the SIS. Like all the projects that were completed were there, so we kind of need that to move around a little.
Yeah, I feel like your previous discussion tied in well to this item.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this isn't an action item. Is there any other discussion? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes. Okay, so we're at the regional challenge recap.
Sure, and I'll do a quick recap of the regional commuter challenge. As you know, last year, the Palm Beach MPO kind of led the effort in doing the commuter challenge. This year, South Florida Commuter Services engaged not only our county, but starting south to north, Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, Us, Martin, St. Lucie County as well in our 2007 commuter challenge. So just kind of recapping this, the challenge occurred in May. It was led by the South Florida Commuter Services, which is a division of Florida Department of Transportation. It involved several counties of the South to encourage people to try an alternative mode of travel for their daily work commute. So this year's challenge featured a mobile app for participants to use where you can log on and log off and say that I, you know, carpooled with someone or took a bike or walked to work. Each trip was calculated in the background, or calculated the numbers of miles used for each trip, and then also the pounds of CO2 saved. Participants were encouraged to get involved through the website, of course through the app. The Palm Beach MPO kind of did several events through the month of March, of course, but then also some events in the month of May to kind of encourage participation. We had our annual Transit Tuesday here in the office. Other entities that were involved were the Palm Beach Zoo, Whole Foods, Palm Tran, the City of West Palm Beach, Florida Power and Light, and then our MPO Board Commissioner Abrams also was highlighted on Channel 5 to the travel. Other companies and municipalities that participated include the City of Boca, West Palm Beach, of course, again, the county, and then other entities, the school districts, other companies as well. So preliminary results, we haven't gotten all of the data back, especially about the origins and destinations, but some of the preliminary results include more than 600 commuters participating in our region. 1,000 of those residents came from Palm Beach County. 900 commuters were traveling into the county, so that lets us know, kind of travel patterns. 33,000 or more than 33,000 trips were logged using an alternative mode, and then more than 362,000 pounds of CO2 saved in the month. Next steps, South Florida Commuter Services is going to do a participant survey to kind of get some feedback on things that they can improve, and then provide more background information to the MPOs about the transportation, about the origins and destinations, the modes that were used. This is just kind of a snapshot of all the trips that were taken. This is Miami-Dade County, but we hope to get more information like this and some of the raw data from them as well. We're going to meet together as a partnership and kind of figure out what to do for next year and how to get people more engaged, and then also how to engage students in our counties. And if you'd like more information, we have South Florida Commuter Services that will be able to give you kind of more in-depth information. Of course, the MPO is available as well if you have any ideas for ways we can improve for next year.
Thank you, Pat. Sure. Did anyone use the app? And have anyone use the app in here?
No. I used the app, the Ride app. And so one of the features that I liked was that kind of similar to Uber or Lyft, similar but not necessarily the same, you could find someone that's near you to carpool with. So it didn't have to be somebody that worked in your department. It could be somebody that worked for me in Vista Center who was using the app and was going in the same direction. So I think that, you know, once we get kind of more users on board, I think that's something that could really be interesting to help match people for carpool.
I think that's a great idea, even if your car's in the shop for a week.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, I looked at this from a bicyclist. I'm in a bike club, and, you know, why would we want to get involved? Because, you know, we're out there biking anyway. Mm-hmm. But then I this, I can flip it the other way and say, go to these people that are already riding their bicycles a lot, and transition you into doing it for work, or you know, cut down your commuting, or any kind of commuting. If you just swap out a ride, from, you know, you're always going to take a car, and I know it's time to take a bike. I don't know, I'll have to think about that a little more.
To take a bike instead of taking the car.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys already bike. Why don't you do it when you're, as opposed to recreationally, you go out and, you know, you go for your bike ride and do that, then you could switch it. And actually, a lot of riders do that when they ride to the ride. So they'll ride my bicycle and then we'll do a bike ride and then ride back. You know, that's kind of a transition there.
What do you think would get bike riders to use the app, like we get the kind of to start logging?
Well, yeah, I don't think the knowledge of the app is
advertising.
Yeah, okay. Advertising. We can market it within the bike club, but I'm not the best marketer.
Facebook.
Everybody's done there.
That's good feedback for next year.
Yeah.
Francesca, can the app export to Instagram or Twitter? Like, can you take a photo and socially share it?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I just wrote with ride apps here, check this out.
Because if I was riding, I'd probably be tracking it on Strava or OneKey or something like that. So to switch to another app, there has to be something specific. Oh, I am using this app because I am engaged in this activity, and I will socially share that I was engaged in this activity.
Thank you. Any other comments? No? Okay. Now,
Robert's
rules of order summary.
So Kevin Fish is going to review some items, and we have we've provided a quick guide for you in the agenda. I'll try to make those available for our future meetings, just so we can all kind of be a little bit more comfortable.
Long time no see. So this is actually had been provided a few months ago to all the committees. So I just wanted to highlight one change, and it wasn't spurred from this committee, but another committee. Specifically related to motion to postpone and a motion to table. Because I know there's been a couple items that this committee has made a motion to postpone, and then there's a discussion on what additional information it is you would like, a general time frame of when that item would come back. But we have had a few instances where a motion to table was used, and the critical difference between postponing and tabling is once a motion to table is made and seconded, all discussion must stop. There can't be any more discussion on the item, which hinders then being able to discuss what is the missing information that's needed to make a decision and what kind of time frame it is. So if you were a motion to table an item, a good example would be there's a presenter here who's fifth on the agenda and has to leave, and an earlier item is taking a lot of time. Someone can make a motion to table and second so that item would stop, but knowing it would come back later in that same meeting. So it would be a way to pull another item forward, put that item on hold, and then within that same meeting, then someone would make a motion to remove that item from the table. Motion to postpone, like I said, would be you're not ready to make a decision at this meeting, so we want to postpone definitely to, say, 2 months from now or a month from now. So that was basically what I wanted to highlight, the difference between tabling, which is stop talking, same meeting later, and postpone, different meeting, finalize what you need. So.
How about when you, at the beginning, when we make a motion to reorder the agenda?
Mm-hmm. Before you all make a motion and second to adopt the agenda, that's something that you could do at that time as well. If you know someone needs to leave and then not have to worry about the tabling, you can always do that at that time as well.
So we tabled 45th Street.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, but it was a postponement, really. So I mean, how does we can't really take it off. We can say we just take it off the table,
right? I mean, how
well, actually, and I forgot that there was a table in here.
Yes.
Because I was referring
yes.
to the technical advisory
yes,
committee.
Same thing.
Right, okay. So, actually, yesterday at the technical advisory committee, another item that had been tabled by the TAC in, I think it was like 3 months ago. So what we did was, before we had the actual item on the agenda, we had a item before it saying motion to remove from the table. So that way, even though the tabling postponement wasn't exactly used the way, it's not like it was wrong that it was a table, it's just not the preferred method of postponing an item, mainly because once it was tabled, the TAC couldn't then discuss the additional information or the time. But so what we would do is something that's been tabled here, before the actual item, there'd be a preceding item to remove it from the table.
So we need to do that with the 45th
correct.
And 995 interchange.
Correct.
Can we add that to the agenda?
Sure.
Okay. And then something else I wanted to mention, I think earlier today we had substitute motions, and just kind of highlighting that only us just to substitute.
Good point.
That was why I was, it seemed like it was being amended a lot, yes, I was like, okay.
So say for example what happened today. Could I then say, hey, let me just withdraw this and let's have a lot of discussion and then we'll put it in again? Is that the right way to do that? Because well, I restated that.
I was thinking maybe we could just take a vote on it to kill it and then just start over again. That way we would have something fresh too.
I think actually that's kind of a good way to do it, is to kill it and then
start over.
Well, yeah. I guess you all would probably go in the friendly amendment
yes.
route. Even while we're discussing and taking feedback from others.
We did two substitutes and then one friendly amendment.
Right.
We did. That's good. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Okay, so summary points from the governing board meeting.
So I'll just bring up that in the last MPO board meeting, I thought we had a great discussion about MPO rebranding. So I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but the MPO in Miami, Miami-Dade MPO, has now been renamed Miami-Dade TPO, Transportation Planning Organization. We think that helps with kind of clarity of message. People know a little bit more about the organization up front because it has transportation in the name. So we're thinking about that and rebranding identity, and a lot of good discussion was brought up around that. So just letting the BTPAC know about that.
And I just had a question regarding it. There was two committees formed with the board, a governance committee and another one. Can you tell us what the responsibilities of those committees are?
Sure. One of the committees that was formed was the strategic, strategic planning governing committee, just to kind of help us keep track of where we are with our strategic plan, but then also help us develop new ideas for us to kind of integrate in our planning work.
The governance committee.
To kind of review the contract with the MPO board and the county, in the relationship where the MPO currently is hosted by the county, and so we have this long-standing contract where we have our offices located in the county building. Sometimes that creates a little bit of lack of clarity because the general public thinks that we're a county department, and that's not necessarily the case. So we're just kind of reviewing our relationship with the county and trying to better understand what's written in our contract and seeing what options are available in a very broad sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Sure. Any other questions? Okay. I lost my address. There we go. Now we are at member comments. Yes, Sally.
I had two. One was just that I wanted to express my appreciation for the presentation of data we're getting very regularly with the tables and the maps and stuff, and not just today's, but I think I, it really helps me with understanding and sorting through the, all of these complicated processes that we typically get very good quality information from staff, and I appreciate that. And then the second thing, as Neil was going to mention, is that the second phase Bluegill Trail project, which is the only paved MENA project, received an award from the Florida Transportation Builders Association. Very high ranks in every category.
Congratulations.
Anybody else? Comments? I just want to say that the VW settlement is hundreds of millions of dollars towards transportation projects, including there's one right now that'll buy electric vehicles for maintenance work or airports, and it'll do train renovations. But any of the municipalities that are thinking about increasing their fleet or changing out fleet vehicles, I can send it to you, Francesca.
Sure.
And you can distribute it. Right now, they're just looking for like a brief summary at DEP in Tallahassee. And so you can say, you know, I want five new maintenance trucks that are, you know, hybrids, if those even exist. And it's a very short form, I think. And so anyhow, I wanted everybody to be aware of that the money is out there.
On FDOT had their design expo this past week in Orlando. I attended, and there's a bunch of training classes on ITS, bridge repair, design, also complete streets. And I said another one, lessons learned from the FDOT manager and the Broward MPO BPAC member, because the MPO worked with DOT to do all their mobility projects down south of the sidewalks and bike lanes. So they gave a nice presentation. You can see where each of them learn from each other and how to help them communicate. So we spread that across the consultants and the DOT throughout the state.
Is that always in Orlando, or is it
Yeah, it bounces around. Last year was in Daytona. We did like an interactive bike ride through different context classifications.
No, because it's huge, because I've been on this committee a long time ago, and we used to bring up sidewalks and bike lanes, and engineers would go, nah, I don't think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? I do have one comment, but I want to go with Sally, too, and thank you for all this graphic information. It really does help a lot. Thank you. And thank you for great presentations on helping us muddle through. but I also wanted to, I was looking at our list of who's a part of this committee, and I was hoping that maybe we could reach out to some of the other municipalities and maybe get more people involved. Like Palm Beach Gardens is missing, and I've heard that that's a big one. And maybe just kind of get this to be more input and more people involved in our committee, that would be great.
The League of Cities might be a venue to do that.
And then that's it for member comments. So our next meeting is July 13th. So we'll see you all then. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. Bye. Okay, thank you.